From WYPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Will Baltimore ban plastic bags? The city council is considering a proposal to outlaw the single-use plastic bags shoppers use for groceries and carryout. Councilman Bill Henry details his proposal, which includes a tax on alternatives like paper and compostable bags. He says it's time for consumers and retailers to change their behavior.
What makes the plastic bags so incredibly insidious is that the culture is just there for them to be given to people regardless of the need.
Then, how have other countries regulated plastic bags? National Geographic staff writer Laura Parker tells us about international approaches to plastic waste and about the dangers plastic bags pose to marine animals. On the Record, after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. Sometimes it seems like plastic grocery bags are everywhere, drooping from trees, floating across intersections, clogging storm drains. In Baltimore, some end up in the harbor. Shoppers may consider plastic bags an everyday convenience, but wildlife advocates and environmental groups see them very differently. For instance, the advocacy group Ocean Crusaders found that single-use plastics kill an estimated 100,000 marine animals every year. In response, governments across the globe have slapped taxes and restrictions on plastics to cut back or eliminate use. California banned plastic bags in 2016. India plans to phase out all single-use plastics by 2022. Closer to home, Montgomery County and Tacoma Park have banned plastic bags, and beginning in October, styrofoam containers will be illegal in Maryland. Now, for the ninth time, legislation to ban plastic bags is proposed for Baltimore City. And here to tell us about it is Councilman Bill Henry, who introduced the bill. He represents the 4th District in North Baltimore. Welcome to On the Record, Councilman Henry.
Thank you, Sheila.
What would your proposal do?
So the proposal for the comprehensive bag reduction plan would be a ban on disposable plastic bags, and it would create a 5-cent fee on paper or compostable bags that are being given away by retailers at checkout. So there are some exceptions for specific uses, but generally speaking, when you go up to a counter to buy a bunch of things at a store, the person at the checkout counter would not be able to simply sweep them into a plastic bag and give it to you for your walkout.
Sweep them into any bag without charging you for the others.
Well, they wouldn't be able to sweep it into a plastic bag at all, and they would charge you if instead of you bringing a reusable bag with you, you ask them to provide you with a paper or compostable bag.
And what are the exceptions?
The exceptions include in grocery stores, if you are getting unprevisually packaged produce, so fresh fruit or vegetables, seafood, meat, nuts, the things that if you were going to, when you go into a grocery store, you can get plastic bags to bag the items themselves that you're getting loose.
Those really lightweight plastic bags,
right,
that we see at the produce counter,
right,
for example.
The ones that are on the little rolls. And those will still be allowed to be plastic. And the idea behind that is those always go home because they're full of the thing that you're buying, the produce.
They don't end up in the street.
They don't end up in the street. But when you get up to the counter to pay for all of the stuff that you got, those things along with the other packaged goods that you're purchasing at the grocery store, those would have to go into your reusable bag, or you would have to pay a 5-cent fee for a paper or compostable bag if the retailer chooses to give those away.
Are there any stores that are not covered by this, or is there any kind of retail that
It's for the dealers include grocery stores, restaurants, convenience stores, etc. Basically, right now, any retailer.
Why ban bags instead of just taxing plastic bags as other jurisdictions have done?
So the point behind adding a tax or a fee to plastic bags is it's a behavioral modification. And we're trying to skip the step of modifying people's behavior away from taking plastic bags and simply taking them off the table as an option. Where we're using the behavioral modification of a fee is with the paper or compostable bags, because while a paper bag is better, environmentally speaking, than a plastic bag, and is certainly less likely to cause the same amount of problems on a long-term basis, both in terms of the environmental impact and in terms of the aesthetic impact with litter, it's still not great from a sustainability perspective. So we could have tried that, but we have tried that also, and those bills haven't passed either. The very first time I personally introduced legislation trying to curb the use of single-use bags in Baltimore City was exactly that. There was a fee on plastic bags and a fee on paper bags, and neither of those bills passed. So I'm thinking, if we're going to take another swing at this and hopefully get Baltimore back onto a track where we're just not going to continue to do this single-use plastic bag culture, we might as well just go the way we should go and just eliminate plastic as an option.
Are plastic bags the worst in terms of litter?
What makes the plastic bags so incredibly insidious is that the culture is just there for them to be given to people regardless of the need. Right after I introduced this, I was tagged in a message on a post on Facebook by a gentleman who said that he had gone into CVS just to get a pack of gum and something else, and they put them in a plastic bag without him even asking. And he had to stop and consciously say, you know, actually, I don't need a bag. I just need the pack of gum, and I think it was a soda or a candy bar. And too many people don't have that thought at the point of checkout. They don't have that thought until they walk outside, reach into the bag to get the item that they actually wanted, and then realize they're holding a bag that they don't need in their other hand, and that bag just gets dropped to the ground, and that's where so much of our litter comes from.
As Baltimore City Councilman Bill Henry here on The Record on WIPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about the legislation he recently introduced to prohibit the distribution of plastic bags at retail stores. Henry has served a dozen years on the City Council. This will be his last, as he's announced he plans to run for City Comptroller. As you said, this has been tried at least nine times before.
Eight times before.
Has not made it. Why is it so hard to get this done from your perspective?
Well, in all fairness, this is the first time that we have done it under the current council, which is one of the things that makes me hopeful for the bill's chances this time. 10 of the 15 members of the council have sponsored or co-sponsored the bill, and the mayor has pledged that if we pass it, he'll sign it. That puts us significantly further ahead than we were in most of the iterations of this legislation in the past. We did pass one version of this bill. It was just a flat-out ban on plastic bags in, I think, 2014. Mm-hmm. That ended up being vetoed by former Mayor Stephanie Rawlings-Blake. And her concern was that the bill had actually started life as a fee, and after the public hearing, it was amended on the floor of the council into a bill that simply banned plastic bags. And she said that several retailers had contacted her office complaining that they would have given greater opposition if it had been a ban, because many of the retailers complain that if you just ban plastic bags, then people will expect them to just give away paper bags, and that will be more expensive for them. And so one of the reasons why there's a fee for the paper or compostable bags
in your proposal
in our proposal this time is, having heard the input of the retailers, we want to discourage people from wanting a paper bag. We want people to bring their own bags with them and use reusable bags, which then the retailers won't have to pay the additional cost to give away bags.
But do you think this whole enterprise is something that consumers want, that your constituents want?
So I do know that my constituents want it. People complain to me about the litter. They complain about the proliferation of plastic in the waste stream. Some of those people will complain about the prospect of not being allowed to use plastic bags or having to pay a fee for paper or compostable bags. But when you take their consumer hat off and put their community person hat on, and you go to a community meeting and they're complaining about all of the plastic bags in the trees and the bushes and in the gutters, you realize that this is one of those times where people want two conflicting things, and you have to make the judgment call of what is the better thing for the city overall.
As you alluded, retailers point out that plastic bags are a lot less expensive for them than the alternatives. And under your proposal, at this point, they would get just a penny of that 5-cent fee that customers would pay for a paper bag. The retailers are going to oppose this, right?
We're in conversation with their trade association. There are some changes that they're looking for in the bill. I will point out that if we succeed in our efforts to modify people's behavior and get people back into the habit of bringing reusable bags, then the retailer's total cost will drop dramatically because they won't need to be giving away bags.
What is your environmental goal with this proposal?
First of all, to reduce the total amount of plastic in the waste stream. There's nothing good about having the surfeit of plastic out there that we allow right now. And so we're ready to take that step and be a safer, cleaner, more sustainable Baltimore City.
Is there an unintended consequence that you're worried about, or is it all upside from your perspective?
From the way I'm looking at it, you're going to end up with a cleaner, greener Baltimore, and that's a good thing in pretty much every way.
I appreciate your talking to us about it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
City Councilman Bill Henry represents the 4th District in North Baltimore. Quick break here on The Record on WIPR. When we're back, bag regulations around the globe. How are other countries tackling plastic waste? I'm Sheila Cass. Stay tuned.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Americans use billions of plastic bags each year to carry groceries or carry out. Once these bags have served their purpose, they often wind up in landfills, on the streets, or in waterways. In the past half century, plastic bags have become a global staple of modern convenience. They make trips home from the store easy for consumers. But does convenience outweigh the environmental cost? Laura Parker is a senior staff writer for National Geographic. She covers climate change and marine environments, and she's written about the single-use plastic bag bans across the globe. Laura Parker joins us by phone from Washington. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Single-use plastics are the plastic bags, containers, lids, straws, etc., that we use once and then discard. What impact do these items have on the environment?
Well, I think you laid it out pretty clearly. A lot of this ends up in the ocean, and it can entangle large marine animals like seals or turtles. Other animals eat it. It breaks down and becomes microplastics, all of which is not good for the environment.
You said other animals eat it, and I think many people who haven't thought a lot about this can imagine getting tangled up in a plastic bag in water, but eating it. Why do animals eat plastic bags?
There's different theories on it. I'm sure your listeners may be aware of the sequence of reports about dead whales that washed up on beaches, mostly in Asia, since last fall. I think there were five or six of them, and quite a number of them had huge globs, show that's not the right word, but of plastic bags that were found in their stomach. Other smaller animals, like sea turtles, mistake them for jellyfish, which is their favorite food, so they eat jellyfish. And some of them, it's not just in the ocean, it's land-based animals. You can look on YouTube and find that elephants eat plastic bags that are just sort of free-floating around in trash areas in African nations. Cattle eat plastic bags. That's been a problem in India and places like Kenya. They eat it as they're grazing because they're out there.
And you mentioned the plastic breaking down, or some of the plastics break down, and that causes what kind of health problem for animals?
Most of the harm that comes to animals is by the result of something physical. They eat something, say a straw or some sharp, hard plastic object that will puncture an internal organ, or their stomach eels. I'm sure I've seen the photographs of the albatross. They eat a lot of plastic. Their stomach is filled with plastic. They can't pass it because the objects are too large, and they eventually die of starvation because their stomach is full, but they're not taking in any calories.
More than 120 nations across the globe have focused on plastic bags, enacting bans or taxing bags. When did the movement to ban plastic bags start?
So this dates from 2002, is when Bangladesh passed the first one. A lot of nations that are poor nations are passing bans. I think most of sub-Sahara Africa, for example, have passed bans on bags. The EU has banned bags as part of a much larger effort to ban other plastic items that are commonly found on beaches. And in the United States, we have four states, California, New York, Vermont, and Hawaii, which those first three have passed bag bans. In Hawaii, it's a de facto bag ban because there's no state legislation, but every county in Hawaii has banned them. So, and effectively, they're banned. And I think we will see a proliferation of bag bans as this issue goes forward.
So you're expecting more?
Yes. Now, I have to say the bag manufacturing industry is also in the United States vigorously trying to prevent these bans from taking effect. And I think there are 13 states now that have outlawed bans.
Let me make sure I understand that. 13 state legislatures have passed a ban on banning plastic bags.
Yes, that's correct.
I read a piece you wrote about Kenya's approach to plastic bags. Tell us briefly what they've done and how it's worked out.
Yeah, I visited Nairobi and a couple of cities around there in the countryside in March, and Kenya has passed one of the most onerous bag bans in the world. It comes with a fine, a pretty stiff fine, and a jail sentence if you are caught with a plastic bag. Now, they're mostly pursuing merchants and bag manufacturers and people who are trying to import bags illegally from elsewhere, not so much the consumer who takes a bag home. You know, they're kind of going after larger violators, although the law is enforced inconsistently and spotty, and they still have a lot of issues to work out.
Does it seem to be denting the problem that plastic bags are in Kenya?
That's what people have said to me. The bag ban was obviously opposed by the industry, but the cattlemen there were in favor of it because they were discovering that cattle were eating bags, and that became a factor in the political discussion that occurred before the bag took effect. Bags used to hang from trees. They were everywhere, floating around as litter. Kenya has a lot of litter, plastic litter, unrelated to bags, and that's all still there. But people I talk to, even the industry people, government regulators and activists, said that since the bag ban took effect, there has been improvement in how the landscape looks. There are fewer plastic bags hanging from trees and littering everywhere.
That's National Geographic writer Laura Parker here on The Record on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about the effectiveness of recent plastic bag bans that may find a home in Baltimore City. So you said in Kenya the enforcement is really focused on bigger players in the picture. Overall, what's your sense of what impact regulations in different countries that have passed have had on consumer behavior?
The effectiveness of bag bans are not really fully known yet, and there's some inconsistency in terms of it may be pretty effective in one place and less effective in another, depending on how the details of the regulation are written. But I think bans are here to stay. As I said, they will probably increase. And they're one of the few ways that government can play a role in this. The thing to remember about bans is they're driven usually in response to consumers who've asked their local government or legislators to pass the ban, and the industry is paying attention when bans are put into effect. Industry decisions are driven on this issue by consumer behavior. So a California activist told me who'd been working on the California issues for a number of years, said this is one way of saying to the industry, you know, you've got to do something serious about plastic packaging. And if you don't, we're going to ban your various items one at a time.
Couldn't we just do a better job without a ban of capturing and recycling plastic bags?
Yes, I think that's true, and there is a role for the consumer to play. One of the most common misconceptions about plastic bags is that they're not recyclable. They are recyclable. Most of these bags you get at the grocery store are made out of polyethylene. They can be recycled and remade into new bags. You just can't do it at your curbside bin. The customer has to take the bags back somewhere to a drop-off point. Usually that's a large box that's near the entrance of your local grocery store, and then they're picked up by the truck that delivers more bags to the grocery store and taken back to the factory and made into new bags. But that requires the consumer to do something, and consumers should be taking a role in this as well. One of the other misunderstood things is that bags don't always end up getting recycled. Sometimes it's cheaper just to make new bags out of virgin plastic, which is very cheap. So that's another part about this that's inconsistent. And not all grocery stores have these bins for customers to drop bags off. So there are lots of holes in this whole fabric here that we're talking about.
When single-use plastic bags are banned, some stores begin to offer paper, biodegradable, or other reusable bags. Are these alternatives better for the environment?
It depends on who you're talking to. A lot of the reusable bags that you will find at Whole Foods or other grocery stores are still made out of plastic. They're just a little more durable, and you can use them multiple times. But the jury on which of those things is truly the most effective is out. I don't think you can apply it uniformly across all uses in all circumstances.
Is there still hope we can undo the effects plastic bags have had on the environment?
Yeah, I mean, Nat Geo, we're trying to draw attention to this issue, and that's why we have launched this three-year campaign to educate our readers and inform them about things that are going on in the industry and around the world with governments, but also about things that they can do in their own home, in their own lives, to reduce their consumption of single-use plastics. And we remain hopeful. This is a solvable problem. This is, people like to equate it with climate change, but you know, solving the problem of plastic waste doesn't require us to change the planet's energy system. This is fixable.
Laura, I appreciate your walking us through it. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks for having me.
Laura Parker is a senior staff writer for National Geographic. At the On the Record page at WIPR.org, we have a link to her reporting on plastic bag bans. Earlier, we spoke with City Councilman Bill Henry about his proposal to ban plastic bags in Baltimore. I'm Sheila Cass. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.